Hello, you're listening to the Rick Rockhill Radio Show, and I'm happy to be here today. I'd like to tell you about our show. We have this podcast. I've got my good friend, Cheryl Lawson. She is the founder and the leader of a fantastic social media networking group called Social Media Tulsa, and we're going to talk with Cheryl now. Cheryl, I'm glad to have you on the show. Thanks for being here today.
Hey, Rick. It's great to be here. It's been a while.
So I have a fun fact for you. Do you know that last time you called into this podcast was 10 years ago? That's how far.
No
well, we go
way.
Back before that.
Yes.
Yeah.
In fact,
yeah, we go back even
Google and Facebook.
That,
yes. Google and Facebook keep showing me when I was in Palm Springs at your I don't know if it was a retreat or what. I was like, oh, I remember that so fondly.
Well, welcome back.
First time,
I really appreciate you.
Thank you. First time I think I've had dogs in a meeting, and it was amazing.
Yeah. Well, hey, is there any other way to run a conference or to run that?
No.
As you know. So it's the best. Dogs are the
best. It was incredible.
Bring out the best in all of us. Oh,
I think, you know,
I'm
even
really...
Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead.
No. I was going to say we may need to bring a few to SM Tulsa conference here next month.
Well, that's a great segue, actually. And the reason why I asked you to call into this podcast today is because this year is your 10th annual Social Media Tulsa conference, and that'll be happening, of course, in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And I thought that was just so impressive because I've attended the conference, I think twice, and I've always thought it was a fantastic event, and I want to talk about that because I think there's a lot of value for people who are in the whether or not you live in Tulsa, even if you don't, it's a great conference to attend. I want to talk about that today, but it kind of struck a note with me as I was preparing for this week's podcast about just how remarkable in a way that it is that this is your 10th anniversary. And when I go back 10 years, I mean, the space today on the internet, everything is moving so fast. Social media has evolved dramatically. And I mean, just in the last few years, never mind 10 years. I mean, you founded Social Media Tulsa as an organization at a time when really very few people were doing this. And that's what, you know, is so remarkable to me. And I want to kind of open up about this. And the reason why is I think this is interesting for other people. It's inspirational. And, you know, because you were out there in front of it so far, you know, before everyone else, I'd like other people to sort of, you know, understand what you did. And in particular, women in leadership roles and social media. I mean, you know, there's been fortunately, a lot more focus and light around this in the last, you know, year and a half, 2 years. You know, equal pay for women and everything, all those things around women's issues. But as a leader, you've been in this space. And I think other women who are out there trying to do this, to start a business, to whether it's an actual, you know, brick and mortar business or it's an online business or it's leadership in a community, this is, you know, you have been an inspiration in my mind, and you kind of shattered a lot of, you know, feelings and things like that. So I was hoping that we could talk a little bit about that today.
Sure. Thank you for saying all that.
Well, it's true. So maybe just take us through, you know, go back. Let's put I wish I had some way back music right now, you know, but to kind of take us back in 10 years or so when you get it, what was it that got you started in this? I mean, you've told me about it a little bit before, but what was your inspiration to get Social Media Tulsa started, and kind of, you know, what are some of the, you know, the challenges and barriers that you ran up against back then?
Sure. So I will start with kind of a little bit of a sad story, but in 2008, I was still living in Southern California, and my dad passed away in Tulsa. And so I was, when he was ill, I was kind of traveling back and forth and just really finding that there was not necessarily a need for me to be in California because I'd already kind of left the corporate world to start my own business. Social media had become what I was really focused on, because as I started a business as an event planner, as you might remember. And so after kind of the economy, you know, takes its nosedive in 2007 or so, social media was really the only way from a event standpoint, and the types of events that I was doing, of course, were more corporate things and people traveling to celebrations, or, you know, there was a conference that I organized, but people were not doing that as much, right? Because the cost or even the appearance that you were spending extravagantly for something that now the economy was not looking at favorably, or that they were kind of pointing out, like, look how much you spent on this thing. So social media became how I figured, because I figured social marketing from the corporate side was, you know, bring everybody to Las Vegas or Chicago to a big event center. We've both been part of some of those big conferences and conventions. And so now that is now looked at negatively, I'm thinking, well, social media is where people are now meeting and communicating and doing those same types of social marketing. And it really dawned on me. And that was the thing that kind of clicked to me, because I found that the event space was where I was most comfortable in the marketing aspect of. So it was never really my full-time job, but it was always what I gravitated to as part of my job to make my job easier. You know what? You have a district full of people that you're supposed to manage. What if you just got them all together? And so that just really resonated with me. And then social media became, hey, I can do the same thing as the conference or the convention in Vegas, just online. And, you know, during that time too, it was the whole Twitter was kind of in its infancy, and just people were really, I mean, they were getting their careers made by, you know, being on a social network or a social platform. And so being a part of the community of other people exploring these tools in Southern California really helped to spark ideas for me. And it really started with, I tell people, I give credit to Jeff Pulver, who started the 140 conference, and that whole community. I was able to meet people in real life and then stay connected to them online, or vice versa, meet them online. And then, you know, there was a lot of people going, hey, are you at this event as well? You know, on Twitter, tell me where you are. Let's meet up for lunch or have a cup of coffee. And so that really continued my, just like, okay, I think this is a lot like, you know, we used to use it as a cliche that social media was like a cocktail party. But for me, I really saw it that way. It was really the connection for me. So when I decided to move back to Tulsa, I didn't want my mom to be here by herself. And, you know, long story short, that's probably one of the best decisions I've ever made in my whole life, was moving back home. But I was looking for that sort of community. Right? Let me find, when I get to Tulsa, let me find the community that's similar to the one that we that I was a part of in Southern California. And I didn't see it. I didn't see other people kind of coming together and networking and helping each other out. So I just decided, well, I didn't just decide. Mashable, I was sitting in the rocking chair in my living room, and Mashable was doing this social media day. And I was on meetup.com, and they were, I saw a thing that said, hey, why don't you become the organizer in your city? So, of course, I looked to see if anybody in Tulsa was doing it, and there wasn't anybody. So I was like, okay, I'll do it myself. And it really was me kind of going on Twitter, looking at kind of people in Tulsa who I didn't necessarily know, but had followed on Twitter for a little while. I contacted them to see if they wanted to be a part of our first meetup for this social media day. And it was really interesting. There was one lady who was doing real estate, Another PR professional, Mandy Vavernack, who's been involved since day one, literally. And there was a group of guys, a couple guys, who were trying out for The Amazing Race. And they were using their Facebook page to kind of get the support to get them on the show. And so we had just this real mix of people talking about how they were using social media. And that really is how it was born. We had probably maybe 20 or so, 22 people showed up that first meetup. And I was like, hey, this is a thing now. You know, we have a community. It was important to me to just kind of continue that social networking in person, face to face, and then keeping those connections online.
That's how
it all started.
Interesting. How back then, when you, so aside from the kind of that first sort of meetup inspired thing, when you said, okay, I'm gonna make this a thing now. This is not just a hey, had a great time, let's all go home. You said, okay, I'm gonna make
right.
this a real thing. What was the reaction that, you know, when you talked to other people, maybe someone in the community or whatever you had to do to kind of pull it together, was there any kind of a reaction or dismay or doubt from people? Because, again, this was not a common practice back then. Now you talk about
yeah,
it,
it was,
like, yeah, well, of course.
Everybody's like, yeah, it's you know, yeah, we all do it. But so, yeah, I think what I had noticed was that it was obvious that the business community, particularly in Tulsa, had been burned.
Right.
Somebody had come through like, you know, cowboy, pew, 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 we can do your social media, and
right.
hadn't done a good job and hadn't focused on the right things and maybe automated a little bit too much. And at the time, that was kind of the game being played, right? Every platform
right.
can be gamed. But that was the game at the time. Let me get you fake followers and get those numbers up, but not really get you any business or any engagement or people actually doing the thing that you want them to do. And so a lot of businesses here were turned off. They're like, hey, yeah, we tried it once and it didn't work. So we're moving on. And, you know, that's 10 years ago. You know, there were still so many other options that could give
right.
you a return on your investment, maybe not as affordable as the social media platforms. And of course they weren't as mature back then as ad platforms or as even targeting. You couldn't really do what you can do today, but there was still a level of authenticity and engagement and organic social that so many people were missing because it was looked upon as this time suck. And it's not working because the last guy who came in and said he could do it, it didn't work. And so I remember just thinking almost immediately after that first meetup was that Social Media Tulsa should be the place where people come to learn both sides of social media. Like you want to be, I call it lazy. You want to be the lazy automator, you know, only posting, you know, scheduling, or do you want to be the company that is engaging with people who are following and liking your business? And I really always talked about not picking a side until I think people started coming to our group, not as enthusiasts or experts or whatever, they started coming to our meetup groups wanting to learn more. And even in the first time we had a conference, because that was where the bell kind of went off for me, is I had been in these other cities where people were paying me a lot of money, and particularly against what people were paying in Tulsa. So for me to come here for the first time as a professional, I mean, I grew up here, but I never really lived here as a professional or never worked here. So, but, you know, I've got a couple of degrees and, you know, 16 years of corporate America experience. I was already priced out of the market for what I would have normally done, planning events or even doing social for people. People couldn't afford me. So,
Sure.
The idea of the conference came because I thought, well, you know, I'll just become my own client. And that really is how that started, how the business side of Social Media Tulsa started, is I decided that planning a conference would be my way of showing the Tulsa community that I could be a good event planner, right? And that I knew a little bit about social media. So that was the initial thing is, you know, if you can't afford me, I will just do it myself and become my own client. And that was really how the business side was born. And then people saw what I did for myself and said, hey, can you do what you just did for us? And
now, did you at that time, Cheryl? Did you have? I'm sorry for interrupting you. Did you have any sort of, you know, doubters, people out there who thought, you know, what is this? You know, what's this chick tell me here? This social media thing. I mean, anybody doubt you because it was so new and they had gotten burned? And did you know? And on top of that, did you have anybody who kind of look at you, kind of, you know, out of the side of their head, like, you know, she's a woman trying to do this? Did you have any of those kinds of things, or was your community kind of already sort of you know, kind of accepting? What was your read on that? I mean, other than the few people who you might have known personally, when you were out kind of knocking on doors, did you run into any of that at all at that time?
I'm sure there was some. I think, you know, what happens in Tulsa particularly, and I didn't know this being from here, is that people were looking to me as an outsider. And I think mm-hmm. that was more of what was happening, and maybe just because of the nature of Tulsa, but people
sure.
were like, you know, where are you from? Are you from California? Like, no, I'm from
right.
Tulsa. I went to Booker T. Washington High School. So, you know, that was, I think, the most interesting part of the challenge was that mm-hmm. people here, and I'm sure it's because people have been burned, right? The people coming in from out of state or someplace else and not really caring about the local community. They come in, they make their money, and they leave. So I get it, but I was not aware that that was even a thing. I got a lot of, you know, you're from California and you're coming in trying to tell us, you know, what to do with our business. So that was really interesting too. And then there were some people who I think were doing it right, who saw what I was doing as some sort of threat to their business. And mm-hmm. that was far from what I intended to do. And I think over the past 10 years, people have seen that if anything else, I've tried to elevate the profession of social media manager, director, so that everybody wins, right? If I make sure that you know, my efforts are to make you know that this is important work and this is huge for your business's marketing and it's important and you should be paying somebody if you're not doing it yourself, and you should be paying them a fair amount because it's a lot of work and skill and time and effort, then I think, you know, that proved to people that I wasn't trying to take your business, because I felt like there was plenty of business to be had, particularly for people who were on the same wavelength as I was and even more advanced. There were, you know, people here doing a lot of really good niche stuff. There were some people in the real estate business who were really doing a great job with social and helping their peers with the marketing efforts. So for me, the conference just was a way for me to show that I not only was interested in doing this for myself, but I also supported other people who I thought were rocking it out as well. Mm-hmm. Right. I wanted people to see that there were people here doing it the right way. And I will say, you know, the first conference we had was the first meetup was in 2010, but the first conference wasn't until 2011. And we had both sides. You know, I had somebody who was the automation and schedule and not, you know, the only time you're social is if somebody responds to one of your tweets at 3 a.m. or whatever it was. Wasn't my recommendation, but I thought, you know what, I'm going to show you both sides and let you choose. And what's really funny is that people chose, in my opinion, the wrong way. A lot of people chose the lazy way. And I went, okay, from here on out, I'm only going to feed you what I want you to eat. It's like, you know, taking your kid to, okay, do you want fast food or do you want mom's hamburger? Okay. So most of the kids are going to pick McDonald's and the Happy Meal. So I didn't want to even put the Happy Meal in front of them. Like, you're going to eat your vegetables.
Right.
And that's it. You're going to eat a balanced diet of the right thing to do. Now, if you go out and find a way to do it lazily or some other way, that's on you. But I'm only going to put in front of you what I want you to eat. So that was really an interesting thing.
Yeah, you definitely led it, because it would have been easier, you know, for you just to kind of take the passive route, take people's money and say, okay, you know, if that's what you want. But you actually took that's what leadership is, what you just described. We're talking with Cheryl Lawson. She's the founder of Social Media Tulsa, the social networking group, and also the conference, the annual conference that'll be happening this year, March 26th and 27th in Tulsa, Oklahoma. You can learn more or register about the conference. There's limited space still available, but you can find out more at smtulsa.com. That's social media, smtulsa.com. And we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I'd like to chat more with you about this, what you just touched on, about these notions about what people need to do and also what's fair for somebody to do when people don't realize there's value that you're presenting and why that's important that you stick your, stand to your ground with it. So we'll be right back after these messages.
I rescue around 75 to 100 dogs a year. A lot of these dogs that come to me are very malnourished, extremely stressed, and they're overall just not healthy. A friend of mine reached out to me who's been in the pet industry for well over 30 years, and he told me he was developing a new dog food dedicated to gut health. I'm in an industry where seeing is believing, and as a rescuer, I make sure the first step in the process is these dogs get as healthy as they could possibly be. Now all my dogs eat Lucy pet food.
1 in 3 adults has prediabetes. That means it could be you, your best man, your worst man. Take the risk test at doihaveprediabetes.org to know where you stand. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Hi, it's Olivia Munn with my shelter pets, Frankie and Chance, reminding you that when you adopt a shelter pet, you discover all the things that make them unique. Adopt pure love at theshelterpetproject.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council, the Humane Society of the United States, and Maddie's Fund.
And we're back. We're speaking with Cheryl Lawson, the founder of Social Media Tulsa. The conference is coming up in March 26th and 27th. You can register at smtulsa.com, learn more. This is really an outstanding event for anyone who is certainly in the Tulsa area, but even if you're within driving distance of Tulsa, I would highly recommend checking this conference out. It's a good one. I've been there a couple times, and again, Cheryl, thanks so much for being on the podcast today. Just before the break, we were talking about, you touched on this idea about, charging people what there's value in the services that you provide, right? You were going and doing different things for people, and maybe at that time, when you first started out, people didn't realize that there was value for it. And there's a temptation when you start a business, when you start a conference, whatever it might be, to sort of discount your rates and to say, oh, well, I'm not worth that. I shouldn't charge this. Or, gee, my conference isn't, it's an awful lot of money to charge somebody. And I always caution people and say, wait a minute, you have skills, you have value, you have experience, and you're bringing that to somebody, a client or a company or a participant. And there's value in that. And you need to be reasonable and you need to be flexible. But by the same token, don't undersell yourself or sell yourself short. And I don't know if that was something you ran into, whether perceptions or your own feelings at that time. But I think there are other people who are starting out in business today who are hesitant to put a sign of value, that the relationship with money for some people is very uncomfortable. And you know, I bring this up because there are people who listen who have that hesitation, and they, well, gee, that's my friend. I can't charge them. Well, wait a minute. You have a service or a good, and they're going to get those experiences from you that you accumulated your mm-hmm. whole career and the time that you've spent amassing all this knowledge. And there's value to that. Can you touch on that? What was your experience with that? And, you know, how did you overcome that? Did you have that issue at all personally?
Yeah, of course. And I think unfortunately, I think women have that a problem with what to charge and knowing your value, their value, more so than men. And whether that's just a systemic societal thing is probably beyond this level of conversation. But mm-hmm. I do think I definitely had that issue starting out, because what to charge. And I mean, I figured what I was charging people in the beginning is really the same as what I charge now. And what I, whether I got that then or not, I think is the difference. But what I would tend mm-hmm. to do is I would try to discount the work depending on what the project was, or if somebody said, well, we don't really have a budget, I'd try to work with them. And I think that's something that everybody should do. If you have a set price, you definitely want to be flexible for whatever client you have. And it's particularly if you're starting out, but you do have to have a set in your mind of what you want to charge per hour or even, mm-hmm. you know, for a particular project. I started out with the per hour rate. And sure. Now I'm pretty confident in what a project is going to take. I mean, I've kind of moved to my particular specialty is social media for events. So I've pretty much gotten down exactly what an event will take, what I'm going to have to pay the people I bring in, and those kind of things. But in the beginning, you should probably make sure you are covering whatever your expenses are, particularly if you're like me, the coffee table entrepreneur. There's a book I read by Chris Brogan. It's called "And the Geeks Shall Inherit the Earth." And Chris has something in that book called mortgage math, right? When you're trying to think of what you charge, look at, you know, what do you spend every month to do the thing that you do? And a lot of us don't think of your monthly phone bill or your annual phone bill and your mortgage or your rent, what you pay for internet service. So start to think about, even though you might be working from home or you might use a co-working space that's not as expensive or working in coffee shops, you still have monthly expenses that are tied to what it is that you do, right? Wi-Fi is not cheap. Right. You need to make money to eat and pay those bills, but don't forget that you have those things that you have to, that you dole out every month. Cause then that mm-hmm. starts to show you, hey, I spend this much money a month on, you know, Hootsuite, subscriptions. And nobody starts to think about all the things that you're paying $5 a month or $10 a month for. That stuff starts to add up. And so if you mm-hmm. look at, okay, at the very minimum, this is how much I need to bring home in this amount of time or in a month or in a year. And so every one of your clients should have a responsibility for your expenses, whether it's you're charging somebody monthly or hourly. The other thing I liked doing in the beginning was letting people know, here's what I normally charge. Here's my fee. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. I can offer you this level of discount if you sign a monthly retainer or some, you know, mm-hmm. some level of, because cash flow
commitment.
And it makes me more comfortable knowing that I can pay my bills next month. If I've got, you know,
of course.
I don't need to hit the home run in the beginning. If if I can just assure that what's coming from you is going to be consistent every month. Because that, you know, when you leave your salaried position or your regular job to go independent, you need to make sure that you have something coming every single month. And that mm-hmm. can be challenging if you only think about, well, if you want me to do this particular project, it's cost this much money and it's a high number. So you can think about, here's what I charge, but if you, you know, if you will commit to 6 months, a year retainer and sign this contract, then, you know, it'll be less, because then for me as the entrepreneur, I know that I can count on that income coming in once a month. And now I'm not stressing over, you know, how to put food on the table and make ends meet, at least for that particular time period.
This is something that lots of people struggle with who start their own businesses, and certainly
sure.
people who do the type of work that you do or consulting or whatever. And I've been there myself. That and I just had this conversation with somebody recently, and she was telling me this, and her comment was, well, that person's my friend, I can't charge them. I said, wait a minute. You need to fix your relationship with money, and you need to understand that your time is valuable and your experience is valuable. As I said earlier, you have to stand up for that. And my comment to her, my advice was, you need to say to your friend that, hey, this is how I make a living. I'm happy to, you know, cut you a break because, you know, you're my friend, but this is how I make a living. And therefore, here are my rates. And if you're, and I said to her,
right.
if your friend is really a friend, they will understand and appreciate that and not take advantage of you and expect your services for free. And so I think it's very complicated for people. And, you know, I think it's fascinating. I was doing research for this podcast ahead of time, and there's all kinds of stats out there that, you know, data shows that women are more active than men on social media and networking, and just not only the number of hours they spend, but how much engagement and participation. Women adapt usually and embrace new technology more easily than men, and they're And they have been, the people like yourself have been leading and foreshadowing the trends in this space and in business, how it relates to business. Women are more expressive than men, communicative, right? Women participate across multiple social platforms more than men. And all this is, you know, really one of, it's just fascinating for me because, again, not just because you're a woman, because you're more than your gender, Cheryl, but, you know, the fact is that if I were going to go out and hire somebody to do something for me in social media networking for my business, for my community, I would try to find someone exactly like you, because you are all those things and more. You have tremendous experience and you've got a great personality and all that stuff. And you know, this is what businesses need. This is what nonprofit groups need. This is what people need to
Wow.
have in their organization. And I think for anybody who is, you know, the cool thing about the internet, right, is you could really hire someone anywhere. And if someone's listening here to this podcast who's in another part of the country, you know, you absolutely could do work with Cheryl Lawson. And even though the group is, you know, your business is very Tulsa-centric, and that's important. And I think probably 95% of your business may come from that greater Tulsa market. I don't know. But I would just say anyone listening to this podcast, you know, Cheryl is somebody that you should talk to, and I'm. This is not an ad for you. This is just how I feel from experience. I think that, you know, it would be interesting to hear your opinions about people who have attended this conference in the past. Again, myself being one of them. What do you think some of the things that people walk away with who've attended, and you know, whether you heard their comments or you actually saw them change their behavior in the community, in, you know, how they do things. Any thoughts on that, what the takeaways have been?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I tend to be personally connected to a lot of the people who come to the conference, whether it's on our Facebook group, social media, or SM Tulsa is our Facebook group, or, you know, on my, you know, personally, we're friends, or on LinkedIn. So I get to see most of the people who attend the conference or even who have spoken at the conference, because I feel like our speakers are attendees as well, because that's just the mixture that I think is best for me. But one of the things I think I love the most seeing, other than just, you know, oh, you're killing it on Facebook now, or I love seeing that you made these changes on LinkedIn or Instagram, is that the connections people make. And the fact that they met somebody at the conference who can help them with their business or with their goal or even get a job. We had one young lady who came to the conference and met, I think I met Mandy, and Mandy, she interned for Mandy, and now after finishing college, she now has a full-time job with Mandy's PR company. And that's just one example of when people meet at our conference, they actually end up doing business together. And that was really a distinct difference from the Southern California community, because most of the people in that community were social media experts.
Mm-hmm.
Here in our community, you've got people from all walks of life. You've got, you know, massage therapists and doctors and lawyers and, you know, hairstylists and people who can help you personally and people who can also help your business. And, definitely the LinkedIn last year, we had somebody, James Bullis, actually talked about LinkedIn, and I've actually had James come to talk to my students as well, because I saw so many people, and he had just one of the breakout sessions, but I saw so many people, myself included, go in and change their LinkedIn bio because of what he said and because of his success. That was really telling to see. There was one community, one speaker we had who will be back this year. His name is Nick Marino, and he talked about his passion from a nonprofit perspective of feeding people, right? How many Americans, kids in America go hungry every day, and their mission to feed the hungry. And they had this project called Feed the City. It was in Dallas and a few other larger cities. And I remember two of the ladies who were at the conference, and he spoke right after lunch, which is a difficult time to speak when people are, you know, full-bellied and, you know, slugging back in. But I knew Nick was going to knock it out of the park, because he'd come the year before, and he was up against another high-energy after-lunch speaker. And so I don't think a lot of people got to experience him, so I wanted him to come back. And so the ladies came over, and they were going to sit next to me out in the foyer, and I went, nope, you need to be in that session. And sure enough, you know, both of them were crying when they came out, and the other one committed to do Feed the City Tulsa. So they have events the first Saturday of every month, and they make sandwiches and chips and bags to donate to a local charity here. And it started, oh gosh, what, 2 years ago, I think, when we were at the Hard Rock, first year at the Hard Rock. And they just had had their event yesterday. And I think it was like 1,700 sandwiches yesterday that they were able to make. So not only do people learn social and learn how they can use these tools, they also make connections that are making a difference in our community. And I can't tell you enough how great that feels. I used to use the hashtag SMTulsaMagic whenever I saw two people who I knew met at our conference doing business together. Because that, to me, is really the benefit of networking, whether you're online or offline, is that you can meet people who can help your business in more ways than just marketing. Somebody can come along and really make the difference. But, of course, I see, their presence on social getting better and better. When a couple of years ago, Daphne LeBlanc did our first Facebook Live session, and she challenged everybody in the room to go live on Facebook. And I'm telling you, my Facebook feed blew up because everybody was going live at the same time. It was awesome. But then you get to see who takes that further, because for many people, that was their first time even going live on Facebook. And now you see some people are, they've taken that, taken those lessons, and they're just killing it and making sure that people know that they're that, you know, what they're doing by going and using the tools of Facebook Live. I don't particularly use it as much as I should, but I do. I did learn those lessons. So yeah, mm-hmm. I love seeing people make changes in their in the way they use social. But I absolutely am excited about the connections people make.
Well, I think that for somebody listening who's not in the Tulsa area, I would say there's your kind of, you know, some of the blueprint, or there's a few tips for you if you're starting up a business in this space, or you're trying to engage, you know, your community. Is it really is about how do you engage people so they continue on after the event, and you get them to connect right. with one another and all these things. I think that's really important. As a guy who's, you know, I live in Southern California. I've had the experience of being part of Social Media Tulsa as an attendee and knowing a few people who I've, you know, made contact with over the years. But what amazes me, honestly, again, this is part of my how I sort of stand in awe and do a bow down to you, is, you know, every so often I kind of step back on social. I'm busy with my career and I don't have the time to commit as I'd like to. And I'll go back and reengage. And guess what I see on my feed? You know, I'm a guy in Southern California and I have my people I network with, but I see hashtag SM, you know, SM Tulsa. And I think to myself, wow, this has been going strong consistently. And it's a community mm-hmm. of people. I mean, I follow your hashtag and I, you know, I'm connected to several people who are part of your community. But I think to myself, you know, this is really, this has never been a one and done. This has never been, oh, okay, that was interesting, and I moved on. I think what, again, is there's a lesson for people listening, and then if you're somebody in the Tulsa community and you're not involved in some way with Social Media Tulsa through Cheryl, I think you're missing out on this opportunity to have a highly engaged network of people. And I think, again, what's interesting about Social Media Tulsa is you do have this really – well, look, it's a reflection of society. It's a reflection of the community because you have – small business owners, you have entrepreneurs, bloggers, you know, you said there's stylists, right? Beauticians. I think there's mm-hmm. people who may be, you know, like John, who's on the radio, right? There's different people who mm-hmm. come from all different professional and, you know, walks of life, and they engage as if they were already connected and they have a common denominator. They right. want to be part of something bigger than just themselves. And I think that's, of course, is what social media is and why people do like it so much. But I think, again, anybody who's certainly in that, you know, the greater Tulsa area, this is something that has been a phenomenon. If Rick Rockhill was mayor of Tulsa, I would declare, you know, March 26th, Cheryl Lawson Day, or certainly SM Tulsa Day, because what you have done in that community, honestly, is really impressive. You created something. And I mean, I don't know all of Tulsa's history, you know, but I do remember, you know, you telling me there was a time when, you know, there weren't some as many sunny days, so to speak, you know, in the community back right. maybe 10 years ago when you started this. And you created something at a time when it didn't exist. And even though the community didn't know it, Tulsa needed it. And they're mm-hmm. better. The Tulsa community is better today because of what you built. And I think that's what's so awesome. You as an entrepreneur, you as a leader, you can look back and say, I built that. Yeah, get me a woman who can do this. And that's Cheryl Lawson.
Right.
Okay, we're going to be right back after this brief message, and then we'll wrap up our show. Hang on.
It only takes a minute to find out if you may have prediabetes. And you can do it at doihaveprediabetes.org. But you're probably not going to. Nope. I'm sure you've got a perfectly good excuse. Kids, work, I get it, you're busy. So what better time than now? Let's begin. Raise one finger if you're a man. Ladies, none yet. Oh, count in your head if you're driving. Now, three more fingers for everyone over 60, two over 50, one over 40, one more if you're not physically active, another finger if anyone in your family has type 2 diabetes, another if you've got high blood pressure. If you're overweight, raise another finger, two if you're very overweight, and three if you're really overweight. You've just taken the world's first audio prediabetes test. And if you're holding up five or more fingers, visit doihaveprediabetes.org or talk to your doctor. There's no excuse, because prediabetes can be reversed.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
I rescue around 75 to 100 dogs a year. A lot of these dogs that come to me are very malnourished, extremely stressed, and they're overall just not healthy. A friend of mine reached out to me who's been in the pet industry for well over 30 years, and he told me he was developing a new dog food dedicated to gut health. I'm in an industry where seeing is believing, and as a rescuer, I make sure the first step in the process is these dogs get as healthy as they could possibly be. Now all my dogs eat Lucy pet food.
And we're back. You're listening to the Rick Rockhill podcast. We're chatting with Cheryl Lawson. She's the founder of Social Media Tulsa, and her 10th annual Social Media Tulsa conference is coming up in March. And Tulsa is lucky to have Cheryl and the conference, March 26th and 27th. You can register at socialmediatulsa.com. And if you're not from the Tulsa community, find a way to drive or fly there, you should go. But even if you can't get there, contact Cheryl because she may be able to help you with your business or whatever it is you do if you need to engage with other human beings out there. So, Cheryl, I think that I really would declare March 26th Cheryl Lawson Day in the city of Tulsa. So I'm going to get a letter writing campaign going, and we'll get that hashtag on.
Oh, my
on
goodness. It's not going to happen, but I appreciate the sentiment. I will say that,
mom,
you know, we do have – my mom right. would probably lead the charge.
Right. I was going to say, Laverne is a terrific woman, and she must be very proud of you. And she's attended your conferences, at least one or two I know of. Anyway, I think she's been there. But what does your mom have to say about all this? I mean, obviously a different generation, and then, you know, she's active
sure.
right out there on Twitter. But what's her take on all this and what you've been doing?
I think my mom is probably my biggest hype person and promoter. She's always wearing the Social Media Tulsa garb when she goes. She, you know, every time we get mm-hmm. a new shirt, she gets a new shirt. So, and of course, my mom, 82, is on Twitter. And,
yep.
you know, for one thing, people are just amazed that I convinced her to tweet, but it really did meet some of her already existing habits. And I think that's some of the ways that I have been able to translate how social media works to for anybody, whether they, you know, understand marketing principles or technology or not. I can find a way to make it associated with what you're already doing and then just do the thing online now. But my mom absolutely loves it. I hear her talking to people and I hear her say, she's Miss Social Media Tulsa. And so that's mm-hmm. my title for my mom. And you know, I will do, you know, I get kind of calls from members of her church or places that people she's met. And a couple of speakers, I think, came from somebody who met my mom at the Y. So my mom is a big supporter of mine. And I think, too, that, you know, people, you talked about people driving. We get a lot of people from the surrounding areas. We get people flying here to Tulsa to come to the conference. A lot of our speakers are from Texas and Colorado and other places. We had a couple speakers from Canada last year. So people have heard about our conference, and they really want to be involved, and they really want to share their knowledge with the community here and the community that we've created. And so I'm really honored that people still want to do this. And I will tell you, you weren't there last year, but there was a moment when I thought, you know, should I keep doing this? And mm-hmm. I definitely want people to know that there's doubt. But the difference is this time I expressed it in front of the conference. Like I call it a major meltdown, but you know, it was after that everybody came up to me and was like, oh, what you're doing is amazing, and I'm willing to help, and please don't stop doing this conference. And so I pretty much got talked off the ledge. But know that when you're doing something that is your passion, that there are going to be those times when you're thinking to yourself, like, you know, can I keep doing this? And the answer is always yes. Even though you go through times of doubt and times of struggle, professional development, learning something new is always important. I learn something new every day, and I'm teaching social media now at the at OSU campus here in Tulsa, and I learn from my students as well. So I absolutely think that as people who are doing social media professionally or who are tasked with it, even if it's not what they, you know, went to school with or what their passion is, but you still have to figure out how to do that for your business. Our community is very open and welcoming to anybody. We still have meetups. We had a meetup here this past week. And the conference is a really great opportunity for you to meet people who, you know, at least speak a similar language or the language that you need to learn if you're just getting into doing social media for your business. So I welcome mm-hmm. everybody, all your listeners, to come to Tulsa and join us. And again, I think if you're looking to start something, just start it. Even if you don't know what your worth is today, you can figure it out and work on, make it a work in progress. And I think every step of the way, Social Media Tulsa has become what it needed to become organically, instead of me thinking, well, this is how it has to be. Even though I had something, an idea in my head, it has become what the community and local businesses and I wanted it to be. It became that organically just because I was open to, oh, yeah, I would love to do this particular project with you, or I would like to collaborate with these people, or, you know what, let's be an open community and help support everybody in it. As long as those things stayed constant, the opportunities just continue to come. And I'm really honored that it has become that, because, you know, it's my living, right? It's how I'm mm-hmm. able to pay my bills. So, and still be able to support, you know, yesterday a couple of days ago was the last day to do taxes. And so I'm thinking, oh, wait, I'm a job creator. Look at all the opportunity I've given to other people. It's not that great, but I will hire other people who I've met in the community. I've hired photographers and other social media people who work on my team. They'll work different festivals here locally. And it feels good to, one, not have to do it all myself, and two, to have the confidence that I know people who can do the job for my client as good mm-hmm. as not sometimes better than I would have done it just by myself. Right.
So I completely understand that and agree. I was looking at, as you were talking, believe it or not, your mom's Twitter feed. And there's a couple of things that she posted that support just what you're saying, Cheryl. So your mom is a kind of a prophet, but she has these great quotes. I want to read a couple of these to you, because they play into just what you were saying. This one from the 29th of January says, positive minds produce positive lives. Let's see. Great things are not done by impulse, but by a series of small things brought together. And that was Vincent van Gogh who she quoted. Here's another one. Mm-hmm. If you don't like the road you're walking, start paving another one. And that's the great Dolly Parton. These are all your mom's retweets or tweets. Here's another one. Stay true to who you are and what you are. And if people still like you, great. If they don't, that's their problem. And that was Sting. She has this remarkable ability to find these inspirational quotes and things. But, you know, it all kind of ties back to what you're saying. I mean, you can create these things and feel good about it and be part of a community and can give back and make a living. I think, look, is it easy? No. I mean, I'm sure you had great days and you had days where you struggled. And there's days where there's self-doubt comes in. But the word, the message to everybody that I would love people to take from this podcast is you can do it. You can build it. If you do what you love, I think that then, you know, that's the most important thing. And I had a conversation with somebody recently and my comment, and I say this all the time, especially young people. I've never in my career, I'm 53 years old, I've never once taken a job for money. Of course, I take a job because I need to work, right? I'm blessed to have had a good career. I do things I like to do. But I've never had a job because just out of money. I've always taken a job because it's what I like to do, or it's a passion, or I started a job because it's what my passion was. And that's all the difference. And that's what gets you through the tough times a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the inspiration for, you know, whether you're a woman or a man doing this, you know, you're a person. We all need to be inspired. That's what gets you out of bed every day and, you know, keeps you going.
Right.
I think that, you know, if you're the other message I'd love to leave people listening to this podcast is, I don't care if you are working for a Fortune 500 company and you're looking to figure things out a little bit more in your job, need inspiration, or you're starting up a bakery or a beauty salon or tax services, whatever it is you do. Social media today, it's not a luxury. It's really a necessity in many ways, and it's how you can engage. But you can give back and be part of your community. So you're not just a guy or a gal who drives on the streets and stops at traffic lights and, you know, goes through it. You're somebody who actually can wave to people who you're passing by. And they might even invite you in for a glass of tea, right? I mean, that's what social media is about. And there's one thing you said to me once I'll never forget. Most of the time when people are on social media, one of the things they're talking about or frequently talking about is when we're going to get together again. Something like that, I'm paraphrasing.
Mm-hmm.
But it resonated with me because I think that's you know, how great this powerful these tools can be. And that's why I recommend Social Media Tulsa. Anybody listening, you need to get at Cheryl. And how can people contact you, Cheryl, if they wanted to, other than your website, I guess? What are the ways you want people to reach you?
Yeah, so you can, if you want to just follow me on Twitter, I'm Cheryl Lawson 918. That's the area code here in Tulsa. Or if you want to follow the Social Media Tulsa community, we're at SM Tulsa on just about everywhere, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Social Media Tulsa on Facebook as well for any of the projects that we do. But I think people can just email me if they want, Cheryl, Cheryl at smtulsa.com. I'm welcome, you know, welcome people to ask questions about what we do from a business standpoint, whether we do social media for you or whether you'd love to attend the conference, which I think for the money is the best deal because you get, you know, 20 people telling you best practices opposed to just me. But I'm really open and willing to help anybody who reaches out.
Terrific. And you're on LinkedIn as well. People more of a business
Absolutely.
Side, they want to get
Cheryl Lawson.
Too, so.
Please Great. Connect with me on LinkedIn. I just taught my students how to do that. So.
Well, you're a teacher and inspiration to many. And again, the conference is Social Media Tulsa. It's March 26th and 27th. And you can get information and register at smtulsa.com. Highly recommended. It's the best use of your 2 days or 2.5 days to get there, I guess. But you definitely should check it out. And Cheryl, I want to thank you for your time today and you're sharing your pearls of wisdom. I really appreciate not only your time here, but just your friendship and the leadership role you've done. So many people can look to you and say, yeah, I could do that. I think I get it now. And you don't have to feel like everything is overwhelming, because Cheryl is a perfect example, a shining light in this very crowded and noisy space of the internet. Thank you so much for doing a great job.
Wow. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
There's your bow down. All right, everybody, check out Cheryl and thanks so much. And then until next time, you've been listening to the Rick Rockhill podcast. And thanks so much and enjoy.